From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall.
And I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. We're going to offer sort of a trigger warning for this episode. We will be talking about certain bodily functions that some listeners might find kind of gross.
We're talking about poop.
It turns out there's a lot of poop on the streets of the Kensington neighborhood of Philadelphia.
And that's led to an outbreak of a disease that the city usually only sees a couple of times a year.
Why is there so much poop on the streets?
And why can't cities seem to deal well with this most basic of human needs?
Today on The Why, the business of doing your business. Jake Blumgart is a reporter for WHYY's Plant Philly. So, Jake, when did Jacelyn Blank find out that she had Hep A?
So she started to feel sick at the beginning of July when she was visiting her parents on the 4th.
I woke up with a head cold. And as the days progressed, my head cold got worse. It became what I thought was a sinus infection.
She's like a really high energy person.
Very healthy person, hardly ever sick, never go to the doctor.
But she was feeling herself getting really tired.
And then became very violently ill.
And she also started to suffer from really nasty things like vomiting and diarrhea. And then, as she told me, she went to the hospital later in July, and her skin and eyes had started to get a little yellow. Jacelyn was experiencing the kind of liver failure that you might expect from someone who was, you know, suffering from extreme problems with drinking.
They didn't know what was happening to me, interrogating me, like, have you been on a drinking binge?
Which she most definitely had not. Mm. But that does just kind of give you a strong idea of like what this does to your body. Mm. And that's kind of when they took the test and confirmed.
Yeah, they finally diagnosed positive hepatitis A.
This is really a coincidence, Jake, because we actually had Jacelyn on last week for an episode about the lack of trees in Kensington. And she was one of the people who was trying to plant more trees in Kensington.
Right. And she thinks that's exactly why she got hepatitis A.
Wait, how exactly did that lead to hepatitis A?
So the thing with hepatitis A is you basically get it from what they call the fecal oral route.
Oh, that sounds gross.
It is gross. It's basically that you get infected human feces in your mouth. Now, that doesn't mean that people are like, you know, eating poop or something like that.
It was not eating poop, America.
It just what it means is that, like, somehow you've come into contact with something that, you know, had exposure to human fecal matter, and then maybe you, like, touched your mouth. Jacelyn lives south of Lehigh in the Kensington neighborhood in Philadelphia, and on the north side of Lehigh is kind of where the heart of the drug crisis is in Philadelphia. There's a lot of drug use on the streets. There's a lot of drug sales on the streets. There's also just a lot of people up there who are unhoused. They don't have places to sleep at night. And also as a result of that, they don't have places to go to the bathroom. There are a number of shops along the main commercial corridors up there, but a lot of them, they know that there's a lot of people who don't have somewhere to go to the bathroom and also who might be trying to shoot up in privacy. Mm-hmm. So they are hesitant to allow people into the bathrooms and in the shops. So as a result of all this, there's a lot of poop on the streets, in the parks, sometimes on people's stoops in the neighborhood.
Are we talking about piles?
I've spoken with some friends of mine up there who, yeah, I mean, when they leave the house, their house in the morning, they sometimes have a large pile of crap on their front stoop, which is not what you want to see. And Jacelyn, again, is a really committed neighborhood advocate.
And I specifically spend a lot of time around H.A. Brown Elementary School. I've been doing cleanups around the school. There's definitely been needles and human feces and other drug paraphernalia.
And she thinks that even though she wears gloves when she does all this, that somehow she was
cleaning up a neighborhood elementary school and somehow got in contact with some contaminated feces.
So, like, just generally, how common is it to get Hep A this way?
It's usually not particularly common. Like, usually the city sees about 3 to 6 cases a year. It's usually among homeless people and heavy drug users. And it's been spiraling out of control this year. And as of the end of July, there are 117 cases, which is just astronomical. And that was still with a number of other cases that were under investigation that they hadn't confirmed yet.
So, Jake, what's the city doing about this?
So the city kind of has a multi-pronged approach. For one thing, they're trying to get a lot more people the Hep A vaccine, both people in the neighborhood and, you know, just people who think they might have had exposure to human feces. Then the other thing is that they're trying to bring public restrooms and also public hand washing stations to the neighborhood so people who don't have homes right now can have a reliable place to both use the bathroom and clean up afterwards.
Yeah, because the only public restrooms I see right now are in some of the septic stations.
Right. Yeah, there simply aren't that many public bathrooms. Public bathrooms used to be a lot more common. And then kind of over the course of the 20th century, again, as cities often became more depopulated and the public sector retreated, there became fewer and fewer public bathrooms. And also, they are just legitimately very expensive and hard to maintain. I mean, people do a lot of, you know, both naturally gross stuff in there and also, you know, some not so naturally gross stuff.
Right, right. I mean, drug use happens in some public restrooms, right. Sometimes public sex.
Right. Also just vandalism. They really attract vandalism.
This is The Why.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Annette John Hall.
And I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. We're talking with Plan Philly reporter Jake Blumgart about the spread of hepatitis A through human feces. Philadelphia is considering installing public restrooms to deal with the problem. So as these public restrooms have gone away, there's been some disinvestment in public restrooms. What's been like, what has come in to fill that void?
So like in a lot of other things in American cities, the private sector has kind of stepped in. But that is really complicated. You see places like Starbucks or McDonald's or Barnes & Noble or something, people using those restrooms. But then the thing with a public restroom is it's open to everyone, to the public. With private restrooms, the owners of the business can kind of decide who gets in and who doesn't. And that then means that there's some people who they're maybe just not going to let into the bathrooms who are then going to have nowhere to go and they're going to have to go somewhere.
So now that we're in the midst of this Hep A outbreak, is the city looking into public restrooms again?
Yeah. And according to Brian Abernathy, who's the managing director of the city, this is something that Philadelphia has considered a number of times in recent years.
We intend to also provide some public toilets and public facilities.
There were some neighborhood activists who were apprehensive about them putting public restrooms in Kensington because they felt like it would normalize the homeless, unhoused population up there and, you know, make it an even more appealing place for people to live on the street and take drugs. I think people's perspectives on that are changing because of the hepatitis A outbreak and because we're seeing so much human waste on the streets that people are, you know, just can't stand it anymore.
So the city's looking into options for what to put in Kensington. What are some of those options?
Right. So they haven't settled on any one thing yet. I know, like in Minneapolis, for example, around their really large homeless encampment, they had these kind of portable showers and bathrooms that you could kind of drive in on a truck. In Portland, they've kind of come up with this, what's I think pretty much considered the gold standard. So it's called the Portland Loo, which is very cutesy, but the actual thing kind of looks like a steel trap. It's a stainless steel structure that has kind of bars around the bottom so you can see how many legs are in there to kind of like drive down the possibility you might be engaging in public sex. There's also some steel slats around the top. So if somebody's smoking a joint or something in there, any passerby can smell it. And then it also hooks directly into the sewer system, so you don't have the thing with like a regular porta potty where you've got to like have this whole process of like, you know, getting all the nasty stuff out of there every so often.
It doesn't sound very private, though.
No, but also that's kind of the point. They like don't want people to linger too long in this place. They just want it to be there for people who really got to go to the bathroom, and then they get out.
So, Jake, how much do these things cost?
They're pretty expensive. They cost about $140,000 a pop, but that's actually relatively cheap in comparison with some of the other public restroom interventions that have been tried in other cities. And Brian Abernathy was telling me that this is definitely one of the options the city is considering.
You know, certainly we're aware of Portland's model. It is very, it's a very expensive model to implement, especially given their patent of the facility.
It's a little complicated because Portland actually, very strangely, has a patent on the Portland Loo.
So we can't get one of those.
Well, we can. We just have to do business with the city of Portland.
So, Jake, I think one of the reasons this story was kind of alarming to people is that we don't think of public health crises like this in the modern age. We have modern sewer systems, and you know, we haven't had like an epidemic of cholera, for example, in a long time. So is this a problem of just sort of public investment in, you know, things that we used to invest in?
Yeah, I mean, this is basically yet another area where local governments have really kind of pulled back in the latter half of the 20th century. And we are now seeing the downsides of kind of outsourcing this kind of public health and public amenity to private actors who just don't have the same responsibility to the public that the city does. You know, and we've seen some of the really complicated aspects of this, like in the Starbucks case.
The two men who are arrested after trying to use a restroom at Starbucks.
Exactly.
The men were denied using the store's bathroom because they weren't paying customers. When they refused to leave, a manager called 911.
And the other thing worth mentioning here is that, so on the one hand, a lot more people are being exposed to hepatitis A. You know, this is just a dramatic surge in cases. And then the other thing is that it's affecting not only the unhoused and people who are heavy drug users, it's also affecting people who have more political power. The fact is that homeless people simply don't have a lot of political pull and a lot of influence. And now that the lack of public bathrooms and exposure to hepatitis A is affecting people who have more of a voice, it's more likely that this will get addressed faster.
Well, Jake, thanks as always for coming in.
Thank you, Jake.
My pleasure, although...
You think?
Well, yeah.
Next time under...
In this one.
Next time under better circumstances. Jake Blumgart is a reporter with Plan Philly. As of August 1st, the number of Hep A cases in the city has risen to 154.
The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall.
And me, Shai Ben-Yaakov.
Along with Alex Stern, under the editorial direction of Katie Colinari. Xavier Lopez produced this episode, and we had editing help from Ariella Cohen.
Tweet us at Shai Ben-Yaakov.
Or at Annette JH.
We'll be back tomorrow.